Good afternoon. This is Linda Galash, and you're listening to the July 1, 2011 edition of Catalyst Radio. It's the weekly program of Community Media Center. CMC's Catalyst Radio brings you interviews with organizations working on social change and community support, announces events and local efforts, and provides our media update about the media. Joining me each week to sift through the media news is Denise Chang. And today our in-studio guests are from Good Morning Revolution, local organization that works on community empowerment, bringing efforts together. We'll be speaking with Jessica Clark and Zachary Brennan. Up first, we have our media and free speech news report, and we start with this one from a group that's called Lady Drawers. They've been sending anonymous postcards to well-known comic artists with facts about how women are underrepresented in the field, as well as how women are overwhelmingly unfavorably depicted. It's caused a lot of comments in that field, in the comic field, and it turns out Lady Drawers has its roots in a class by the same name at the School of Arts Institute of Chicago, and it's been working on research on these types of issues.
The class started out just by going through a lot of the comics from really well-known comics companies and just basically tallying what they saw. Was the author male or female? How are women depicted? And then they started to send out those postcards. There are some of those postcards floating around, images of them online. One of them actually cites the statistic that 75% of DC/Vertigo titles contain rape and abuse. And so this is something that they've been distributing. Some of their research has been questioned because they're students, but nobody has really disputed it. People are just wondering about the methodology that went behind it.
And it wouldn't be unusual for research to be done by students. Matter of fact, actually, typically, the information that we're drawing from comes from Gaper's Block, as well as Lady Drawers, The Beat, Democracy Guest List, and Twitter, with a sample of one of those postcards. And for our next piece, a committee has just been formed to investigate how immersion in digital media affects young people's civic engagement. Not a lot of conclusions, except that it does seem to indicate that youth are more likely to volunteer or engage in community and social and civic involvements and engagements by being involved with social media. Denise, you got a little bit more on this one.
So often a lot has been argued around digital media, social networking, and how it relates to youth. And there has been both arguments about how digital media tends to cut youth off from real politics and real affairs because it's interacting in this digital world, as well as the opposite has been argued. This group decided that they were actually going to do research into it, and it really just started. They just got a good amount of funding to do so, but as these claims are being made, and since the internet is still relatively young, the researchers felt like this was something that they should pursue so that projects and initiatives going forward have some sort of solid research and solid data on which to form some of their initiatives.
We're pulling our information from the Digital Media and Learning Research Hub, that site, dmlcentral.net. Our next story is one in a list of stories that we've had having to do with the tracking and documenting of journalism itself and media itself. This one from Nieman Labs at Harvard University. It has a new journalism wiki called Encyclio, and this is documenting the journalism industry.
It's actually inviting users right now to add information about various journalism-related issues or institutions, and contributors can add the story behind organizations, the history of issues and how they've been debated, and then also include things like rivals of various journalism institutions. And you can find more information about that at the Nieman Lab link.
And our next story, with a little bit of a lighter flair, the magazine Mother Jones originally started having to do with labor issues a while back, highlighted designer Christopher Gowan and some of the most popular albums in pop culture media, music albums. And this is an artist project that includes Prince, Pink Floyd, Arcade Fire, and a number of others. A little bit more about this one.
Christopher Gowan is a graphic designer who decided as a project that he would redesign some of the most popular albums in pop culture, which include all of those artists that you mentioned, as well as the Beatles and a couple of others. And he imagined what they would look like if they were book covers rather than album covers. And you can see that. It's actually kind of fun to peruse and see how he interpreted those things. Some of them as sci-fi novels, for example, or the cheap romance novels. You can see that on the Mother Jones website.
And on a similar note or topic, a project called Back of the Web Page does a little bit with some graphic design and imagining what it would look like from the back of a web page.
A couple of designers decided to look at some of the most popular web pages like Google, YouTube, Flickr, Twitter, a lot of different groups, and imagine what it would look like if we didn't see it straight on from a screen, but on the other side. So, for example, YouTube looks like the back of a TV, and Google has its own look, and Flickr as well. And they just decided to imagine what they would look like if there were actual physical operations or a physical sort of back end to those sites. So they've actually opened it up and invited other people to contribute their own images, but you can visit that at backofawebpage.com.
And we do provide our link to that on our The Rapidian website, as well as to Mother Jones for the previous portion of the article. That wraps up our media and free speech news report. When we come back from the break, it's Good Morning Revolution, a local group that works on community empowerment.
One.
On this earth, anywhere I go, cause I was made of this earth. I'm born of this earth, I breathe of this earth, and even with the pain, I believe in this earth. So I wake up every morning and I'm stepping on the floor. I wake up every morning and I'm stepping out the door. I got faith in the sky, faith in the one, faith in the people rocking underneath the sun. Cause every bit of land is a holy land, and every drop of water is a holy water, and every single child is a son or a daughter of the one earth mama and the one earth. So don't tell a man that he can't come here, cause he got brown eyes and a wavy kind of hair. And don't tell a woman that she can't go there, because she prays a little different to a God up there. You say you're a Christian cause God made you. You say you're a Muslim cause God made you. You say you're a Hindu and the next man a Jew. Then we all kill each other cause God told us to. No, hello, hello. And we're mashing up the place, giving you a beat you can rock and roll to, giving you a sound you can shake.
Well, today on Catalyst Radio, we welcome to the studio Zach Brennan and Jessica Clark. They're with the organization Good Morning Revolution, community empowerment groups. Folks, welcome to the studio.
Hi.
Zach, let's start with you, and Jessica will get into some of the details with you in a little bit. But Zach, why don't you tell us a little bit about this group here in Grand Rapids, Good Morning Revolution?
Okay. It kind of started around the really, really free markets around 2008. A lot of people would consistently show up to volunteer and help out. And at those events, we like started talking about wanting to do more events like the really, really free market. And so we started having meetings and getting together and planning out other things we could do. And we chose the name Good Morning Revolution because it sounds positive and energizing, and revolution's always fun, right? So we started doing things. We did a few workshops. There was a guy involved who was an economics teacher at a local high school, and he did a few econ workshops, kind of like showing some faults and of capitalist system. We did the really, really free markets and stuff, but over the past couple of years, it kind of petered out, and we weren't getting new blood involved in the group, and so it was kind of just dead. And we, you know, the really, really free markets keep going, a friend of mine and I went to Chicago Zine Fest, and when we were there, we went to a workshop led by these folks in Rogers Park neighborhood, and they do a zine and the workshop was about how that zine is used to build community. And the zine's called Free Rogers Park, and we're using them as a model. And they have like a zine that's put out monthly, and when they put it out, they have like a, they call it a salon, and they have people come and they have like a meal and talk about what's in the zine, and they pass it out, and then and those people go throughout the community and drop it off places. And so it reaches a very diverse audience. And Rogers Park is also a very diverse neighborhood. I think he said that, like, there's more than 200 languages spoken in their that neighborhood. So I like took that idea of using a zine, a paper physical thing that just shows up and around the city as a way to like express the ideas behind the Really, Really Free Market, because I feel like a lot of people go and like, oh, it's free stuff, but it's more than just free stuff. It's about building a community where the important thing is our relationships and not our belongings.
Zach, just to explain, because not maybe everybody knows, Really, Really Free Market, describe how that works. You know, people bring things that they're going to give away, and there's an exchange of mm-hmm. things.
The brass tacks of it is, yeah, the first Sunday of every month, at the Martin Luther King Park, you bring whatever you want to get rid of and pick up whatever you want to get there. And there's no money involved. It's all free. And recently Food Not Bombs has gotten involved and have been, you know, giving away, like they've been preparing food and like having that available. And the last month there was a musician and he was playing songs and then hanging out, more than just stuff.
And Jessica, you wanted to add a little bit to that.
Yeah, you go there and you see these blankets of things and you find really cool stuff that you might need and don't have to spend money. But then you look around and there's all these colorful people that have skills and abilities like to share with one another. There was a lady teaching finger weaving and we made some seed bombs. And it's really inspiring to go to the free market and see community in action. What I like about the zine is that it offers a forum to liberate revolutionary mindsets from the internet and bring them back into the world and help each other that way.
Great. You both described a number of activities that are kind of going on under this Good Morning Revolution heading. Can you kind of encapsulate what is common about this? Is it the lack of doing the capitalism method? Is there community support? How would you describe what's common about all these things?
The two main focuses are as mutual aid and community empowerment. And there's a lot of things that stem from that. We're seeing one of the biggest economic downturns, you know, since the Great Depression. And that's a lot to do with globalization and a lot to do with these like squeezing out good paying jobs for turning people into machines. And the thing we want is to treat people like human beings again. And everything we see as like a thing that we want to support is about treating people like human beings again. And just to clarify, Food Not Bombs is, as far as I know, completely unaware of Good Morning Revolution. I guess we gave them a zine, but
you're supporting their work.
We're supporting them. We're trying to help with that.
Just give a quick description of what they do then.
The basic premise is that we live in a time of such abundance that we throw food away, but at the same time, so many people go hungry, and it's the system that you're not allowed to give food away. You have to throw it away, and so we're liberating that food from the dumpsters, and it's still good, and we make delicious food out of it and eat it.
And you serve it or provide it, cook it, and make it for people to have through that program. Well, let's talk a little bit about the zine you've mentioned. You've found that to be effective in Chicago neighborhoods as far as community support and community involvement. And I see you have one of your own here. So tell a little bit about how you're using this tool.
We just started. This is our first issue. And we've gotten like a response from our friends and people that are already like-minded. But we're hoping to get more like a broad-based.
Yeah, we want to find diverse voices that are doing different things and people that need help or are offering help or just like taking culture back from the media that's mainstream and profiting off of us and creating our own culture and helping giving other people a forum to do that as well.
So this first edition of the zine, describe a little bit of what's in it. What are some of the articles and about how you're distributing it?
We have some information about seed bombs, the IWW, a couple of poems, information about the Financial Accountability Act and Public Act 4 with
Rick Snyder were really not fond of this anti-democratic movement. Some drawings.
And you said seed bombs a couple times now. And so give a description of what that is. It might be a term that not everybody's familiar with.
It's basically like a ball of terracotta, and you put seeds from like the local environment inside of it and then coat it with compost and soil. So it holds together the seeds, and then you toss it anywhere that a plant can grow. And it's kind of protesting urban desertification. And we made some at the last free market. We did like tomatoes and basil, peppers and flowers, which might not be local, but having free food growing around is kind of exciting.
Hopefully it grows.
That's always, there's the chance at least that it didn't have before. Well, just to remind listeners, we're talking with an organization called Good Morning Revolution. In the studio today with us is Jessica Clark and Zach Brennan. This is Catalyst Radio on 88.1 FM, WYCE, Wyoming, Grand Rapids. We were just kind of getting into a little bit about the zine itself, and this is sort of a new tool for you to use. And let's talk a little bit more about it. It is actually a printed product. It's probably an e-product as well. And I don't say product in terms of being sold, but an item.
You can find a copy of the zine at thegoodmorningrevolution.org. You can view it there, download the PDF, and print some off.
The way we've been distributing it in physical form is we printed off about 70 of them and rode our bikes around the city and left them at places that had magazines and other things out, and just left a few for people to pick up and check out. We have a website. It's goodmorningrevolution.org, and on there we have a link to view it online or download the PDF.
If you want to submit things too, we really want submissions, so send us your emails at zine@goodmorningrevolution.org.
And what kind of topics are you accepting for the submissions? You talked a little bit, I think you mentioned labor was a topic in this particular one, food, of course, and then issues of capitalism.
Yeah, like critiques of society, do it yourself. We're looking for recipes, maybe informative articles about repair.
Anything that is quote unquote radical in Grand Rapids is what we're interested in promoting and interested in sharing. Anything that is about empowering people to be people, and anything that's about the beauty of life, however you view that.
So this, the first edition of the zine, and it's a tool for you for Good Morning Revolution and presumably to do the community empowerment or the mutual aid. Tell me how you're using this, where this is maybe filling a hole that you saw in the community, how you use this tool.
Well, the biggest thing that I see is that in Grand Rapids, there are so many really awesome things going on, but I'm aware of only a handful. And every time I go to one or the other like little group, and it's just this little clique, and we want to intermingle that. Like the DAC is really amazing. Bloom Collective, I've never been able to be there when it's open because they have weird hours, but I'm a big fan of them, and I would like to check it out sometime.
Bartertown Diner that's opening is really exciting. It's a worker-ran restaurant, and they're doing workshops. We found out more information about that through the zine.
So as you kind of identify these groups that you feel a bit of an affinity with, but you feel they're not quite reaching out among each other, how do you hope to bring all these people of like interest and like efforts together?
The plan as of right now is going and talking to them in person and saying, hey, I like what you do. Have you heard about this other thing that's kind of similar to you?
We've done a lot of research with community events that are going on, and we're compiling a free calendar every month. And that's kind of offering a way for people to see things that are going on that don't cost money in a tangible way, and hopefully bringing people to intermingle and talk to each other and also be educated about new things.
We see this like great stuff going on, and it's just not really advertised well. And one of the things we take from Free Rogers Park is they have a free listing, and it's just a bunch of free events in the area. And so we're doing a free calendar, but in researching that, we found it very difficult to find these things that are going on. Like, they're really poorly promoted. So we are trying to help the people doing really cool things get the word out about their things.
So your free calendar online as well as in maybe your next edition of the zine?
The free calendar will be in every issue.
Great.
It's definitely going to be there.
How often do you hope to print?
Once a month.
Okay. Well, we do want to get some information out there. Tell again on the website some of your upcoming events, this being July 1. What do you have coming up in the near future and then maybe a little bit in the distance? Do you have some collaborative efforts that you're hoping to make happen?
The 3rd of July in Martin Luther King Park on Fuller and Franklin is another really, really free market. So we're excited about that, collaborating with people in the community.
What time of day is that?
Starts at noon and goes till about 5. And we ask that no one bring anything to drop off after 3.
Okay. And then what about your website again?
The website is all one word, goodmorningrevolution.org. And then we're also on Facebook at facebook.com/goodmorningrevolution. And you can submit anything to our zine at zine, which is Z-I-N-E, at goodmorningrevolution.org.
Zach Brennan, Jessica Clark with Good Morning Revolution here in Grand Rapids. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Tell me who you are. Say hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Bonjour, bonjour.
And up next, we look at some of the events coming to the community.
Next Tuesday will be the first of the Tuesday Evening Music Club series, which is a partnership between WICE and the Frederick Meyer Sculpture Garden. Throughout July and August, local bands will be performing at the Sculpture Garden, and the first up are Soil in the Sun and Carissa Wilson. You can find out more information at the grcmc.org calendar.
Starting at 10 a.m. next Saturday, Grand Rapids Public Library invites comic enthusiasts to meet other collectors and trade, buy, and sell comics. Tables will be provided for participants and representatives from area comic book stores. Argos Bookshop, Tardy's Collector's Corner, and Whitecap Comics have been invited to the event. More information is available at grpl.org.
Till August 21st, Frederick Meyer Sculpture Garden is hosting the work of Welsh sculptor Laura Ford. Ford's work has been displayed all around the world, and this is her first major U.S. debut. She is known for her dark humor and weaving issues such as war, death, and gender politics with children's fables and myths. You can find out more information on the Meyer Gardens website.
Music featured this week on Catalyst Radio from the group Michael Franti and Spearhead. It is the disc called Yell Fire. You've been listening to Catalyst Radio, your local source for independent information and news on the media. We broadcast weekly. It's Fridays, noon to 12:30 p.m. on Community Media Center's radio station, WYCE. Archives of our Catalyst Radio shows can be found on our website in a couple different ways, grcmc.org/catalystradio and also at therapidian.org. grcmc.org is the site to find all the different information about our programs and opportunities here at Grand Rapids Community Media Center. With Denise Chang, I'm Linda Galash. This is 88.1 FM WYCE, Wyoming, Grand Rapids.